Thank you, Attorney Iacopino. And good evening. I'm Bill Quinlan. I'm the president of Eversource New Hampshire, and it's a pleasure to be here tonight. As you know, we were in Laconia a few months ago and got some very useful feedback. These sessions have proven very beneficial to us as we continue to think about this project and to shape our final proposal. And so I can assure you that the views, whether they're positive or negative around this project, and some of the feedback we receive is very helpful and beneficial to the company. So thanks for taking time out of your schedule and being here tonight to share with us your views and hopefully have your questions answered. If we don't fully answer your questions during the formal Q&A, the open house is going to continue to remain open, and there's a lot of experts on this project, our engineers, our environmental team, et cetera. So, feel free to pose the questions to that team, and we'll be certain to get you an answer. What we're going to do here is provide you a kind of a brief overview by way of a video of the project, just to kind of reintroduce it to you so you know some of the vernacular that I'm going to use in the presentation. Then we're going to drill down into Belknap County, and then probably the most important part is to take your questions and have an opportunity to share with you our answers. So with that, Andrea, why don't we cue up the video?
The energy landscape in New Hampshire and New England is shifting. With the retirement of power plants, the pool we draw our energy from is getting smaller. The regional energy supply that New Hampshire draws from is also becoming less diverse and more subject to price volatility and reliability risks. Northern Pass will bring 1,090 megawatts of clean, reliable energy from Hydro-Québec's world-class hydroelectric plants in Canada into New Hampshire and onto the New England power grid. This is enough renewable electricity to power 1 million homes. In the improved route, the transmission line would cross from Canada into New Hampshire in Pittsburgh and extend approximately 192 miles to Deerfield in New Hampshire. In total, more than 80% of the entire line would be built on existing transmission line corridors or underground along public roadways. The remaining portion would be constructed on land the project has leased. On the overhead portions of the route, we have modified our design so that structure heights and corridor width are reduced where practical to avoid potential visual impacts. Northern Pass will begin in Coos County with a high voltage, direct current, or DC line that will run along a new right-of-way through the towns of Pittsburgh, Clarksville, Stewartstown, Dixville, Millsfield, and Dummer. Two sections of this segment, totaling nearly 8 miles, will be underground along public roadways, and more than 24 miles will be located on working forest land that is already subject to routine timber harvesting. Each underground section will include two transition stations, which are stations where the line transitions from overhead to underground at one station, and back to overhead at the next station, for a total of four. One in Pittsburgh, two in Clarksville, and one in Stewartstown. From the end of the new right-of-way in Dummer, the line will continue through Stark, Northumberland, Lancaster, Whitefield, to Dalton, along an existing right-of-way where transmission lines stand today. The line will enter Grafton County in the town of Bethlehem, transition underground and proceed through Sugar Hill, Franconia, Easton, Woodstock, Thornton, Campton, and Plymouth, transitioning back to overhead in Bridgewater and continuing through Ashland, along an existing right-of-way where transmission lines stand today. 52 miles of the route within Grafton County is entirely underground through the areas in and around the White Mountain National Forest, the Appalachian Trail, and the Franconia Notch area. This requires one transition station in Bethlehem and another in Bridgewater, where the line returns overhead and rejoins an existing transmission corridor. The line is located in only one town in Belknap County, the town of New Hampton. The line then re-enters Grafton County in Bridgewater and continues through Bristol before entering Merrimack County in the town of Hill. It then proceeds to Franklin, where the line will enter a proposed new converter station. From there, the line will switch to alternating current, or AC, and will travel through the towns of Northfield, Kenterbury, Concord, Pembroke, and Allenstown. Finally, the line would enter the Rockingham County town of Deerfield, where it would connect with the New England power grid at the substation on Kate Road. In addition, there are plans to modify or replace 10 structures in the towns of Deerfield, Raymond, and Chester, between the Deerfield substation and the Scobie Pond substation in Londonderry, New Hampshire. Both substations will also be modified. By providing access to this new source of reliable, renewable energy, the Northern Pass will help meet the region's increasing demand for power, while also substantially decreasing carbon dioxide emissions. In addition, the Northern Pass is expected to bring many other benefits specifically to New Hampshire. The project is expected to lower energy costs by up to $80 million a year for New Hampshire businesses and residential customers. In addition, the Northern Pass project will result in an estimated $30 million annually in local property tax revenues for communities along the route and create 2,600 jobs during construction. Our Forward New Hampshire plan goes a long way in helping New Hampshire's communities, and we look forward to further discussions with those communities along the route. The Forward New Hampshire Fund will receive and allocate $200 million over a 20-year period for projects associated with community betterment, clean energy innovation, tourism, and economic development. The plan, which includes benefits unique to New Hampshire totaling $3.8 billion, will not only help lower energy costs, but also increase the state's gross domestic product, unlock small-scale renewable energy sources, and set aside 5,000 acres in the North Country for recreational activities, economic development, and natural resource preservation. We all depend on electricity. The proposed Northern Pass transmission will help ensure the electric system meets New Hampshire's and the region's energy needs for many years to come. For more information or questions, visit our website at northernpass.us or call 1-800-286-7305.
Okay, well, hopefully that was a helpful overview. As the video showed, you know, the impacts in Belknap County are really within the town of New Hampton. And it's these two segments in blue. Okay, you'll see each of which is about 3.5 miles long. So a little over 7 miles worth of overhead construction in the town of New Hampton. That overhead construction is going to be running parallel to an existing transmission line through an existing transmission right-of-way. So there's no new right-of-way. In essence, you'll have two lines running in parallel through New Hampton. The new line, the Northern Pass line, when you look at that segment, the most common height of that structure is around 80 feet. The existing transmission structures are in the 50-foot range, so it's somewhat taller, but it varies structure to structure. You know, last year we made some changes to the project, reduced the overall size of the project. It was a 1,200 megawatt project. It's now a 1,090 megawatt project. When we made that change, we also changed some of the technology. And across the entire route, we've been able to lower the new structure heights by about 5 feet on average. And then last time we were here, we talked a little bit about structure design. So, you know, I know there's a lot of discussion around underground construction as a way of addressing view impacts, and that's one way to address it. There are many other techniques that we use when we actually get into the detailed design, and I'll show you that in a bit. Last time we were here, I showed you some generic depictions of what a traditional tower looks like, which is referred to as a lattice structure, and then what a more streamlined structure might look like. So I'll show you some view simulations today to kind of illustrate what I'm talking about there. But my point is, you know, underground construction is certainly one way of addressing view impacts. There are other ways to mitigate view impacts, and we're very firmly committed to pursuing all of those as we get to our final design. We know that's a big issue. View impacts, scenic impacts of the overhead portion of the route, that's the question we continue to get most frequently. and it's got our full attention, I'll assure you of that. Here's what the Department of Energy concluded. So as the video depicted and Attorney Iacopino mentioned, the Department of Energy, which is the lead federal agency, did issue a draft environmental impact statement last year. This was their conclusion when they looked at the total project. They identified a, I'll call it a modest visual impact. Now, this was prior to the change that we made, which put an additional 58 miles of this line underground in and around the White Mountain National Forest. So this was their view then. We've since made that commitment. That's our new design basis. We've scaled down the project to accommodate that. So my view is that that rating from DOE probably will come down as a result of, of that decision. We addressed many of the scenic impacts that that they had identified. At this point, over 80% of the line is either underground or in an existing transmission right-of-way, like in New Hampton, where there's an existing line, existing cleared right-of-way, and what we're talking about are two lines running parallel. The video did a good job, I think, of depicting the area of new construction, which is really up in the far north country. The vast majority of that is one parcel of land. It's referred to as the Wagner Forest. It's 24 miles of very remote timberland that is routinely harvested. So it's a It's one landowner who has leased us that property rights, but my point is it's an area that is routinely subject to timber harvesting, and it's very remote. We intentionally moved this line from the western part of the state in northern New Hampshire to the eastern part of the state to mitigate view impacts. That was a decision made several years ago. Nonetheless, we're applying many other techniques, and I'll show you some in a moment, but some of them are highlighted here. You know, more streamlined structures. There are things we could do with respect to the material that we use, so it's less visible, and I'll illustrate that for you in a moment. We're looking at every tower and getting them to be as low as they possibly can be. Ultimately, we'll use vegetation as a way to minimize visual impacts. These are all techniques that are routinely used in our business to address the principal issue being raised here in New Hampshire. And again, we're going to continue to look at this on a structure-by-structure basis. I'm sorry, do you have a question? Okay, we'll get to it. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. Okay, this is the, and this was an area where there's an existing line. Did get some attention last time we were here. It's the Pemigewasset River. And this is the existing condition. This is an example of what we refer to as a visual simulation. So we've identified some of the critical areas so we can take a hard look at what do they look like today, what would it look like with the project as proposed, what can we do to reduce visual impacts, applying those techniques. We do have visual simulation experts who assist us in this, and they work very closely with our engineers and design teams to do everything we can to reduce visual impacts. And I'll just show you one that's still a work in progress. We still have to work on this one, given its significance. Okay, so this is what Northern Pass would look like with a conventional, this is Northern Pass, that's a conventional lattice structure. That's a visual simulation of the picture I showed you last time. This is the existing transmission line that runs through that transmission corridor today. This land has been cleared so we can see what those structures look like. Obviously, that vegetation would be allowed to grow back into its natural state. Okay? So this is from New Hampton looking across the river to Bridgewater. Okay? You'll see lattice structure. This is a monopole, which is a single pole with three conductors hanging off it. It's at the top of a hill, so it's elevated, and you're essentially looking up at it. So it's probably the most direct line of sight that you could possibly have of this. It's about a tenth of a mile from this vantage point up to that, those structures. Okay, that's what a conventional design might look like. As we take a hard look at this and our engineers study it, this would be a monopole replacing the previous lattice structure. In this case, it's what's referred to as a weathered steel monopole. That's a material and a color that's designed to blend in to the surrounding forest. So if you are in a tree-lined area, this might be the type of monopole you would use because it would blend in with the trees. Okay? Against a white background, like the sky, that is not likely the one you would use. This is also a weathered steel monopole for the existing line. Okay? So we continue to look at this. And we say, okay, if we went to a galvanized steel, what might that look like? So if you look at that, and you look at this. Okay? This is now a galvanized steel. It doesn't rust. It remains basically silver. That's the type of structure you might use against a white background. Now, our work is not done on this location, but I'm just trying to demonstrate to you some of the techniques that we intend to continue to use as we think about how do we mitigate view impacts. Okay? There are dozens of these view simulations up and down the route that we've prepared, and our experts and engineers continue to work on them. We understand the significance of this issue, and we intend to continue working on it. Okay? All right. Beyond visual impacts, one of the other things we hear as we talk about Northern Pass is, what does it mean to my local community from a tax perspective? Again, here, Belknap County, there's only one town that's through which Northern Pass would run. This is what the annualized tax revenue would look like. There's a range there that's based upon kind of the range of cost estimation around the project for the actual infrastructure in that town, as well as, you know, the tax basis and the tax methodologies that the town may apply. But, you know, this is something we are in dialogue with municipalities up and down the route about. In some towns, this is a very significant property value. For a town, for example, some of the smaller towns in the North Country, you know, the asset value or the book value of the asset that we're putting into the town is, you know, approaches their current grand list. So it's a very significant question that municipalities may have in the North Country. Okay? So this is a topic of importance. We understand that. We are making commitments around taxes to these towns with respect to methodologies. And as we our final design, you know, comes into focus, we'll be able to narrow this range and get more specific around what this looks like on a town-by-town basis. Okay? The other question we've gotten from the outset, since at least I've been involved in this, is what does this mean to the state of New Hampshire? You know, there's been this perception out there that Northern Pass is all about taking hydropower from Canada and delivering it to Boston or Connecticut, and that none of the benefits will reside here in New Hampshire. So what we've done here is to really capture the true story. What does this project mean to the state of New Hampshire? And we'll go through them quickly, but the video alluded to what does it mean from an energy cost perspective. This is the issue you hear from businesses and residences across New Hampshire. You know, if you talk to any business leader about their top three issues, if you're in an energy intensive business, one of them is going to be energy. And they're going to say prices are high, they're unstable, I can't plan. And if they don't stabilize and aren't lowered, we're going to have to look at other options because we're not competitive. Businesses across New Hampshire say that, and businesses across New England say that. Okay, when we take almost 1,100 megawatts of stably priced power and deliver it to New Hampshire, that's a conservative estimate as to what it's going to mean to New Hampshire businesses and residences from an energy cost perspective. Okay, and this is based upon what that power will do to lower the overall wholesale market price in New England. Okay? You can extrapolate this up. So if New Hampshire's share of this is $80 million a year, for New England this is about an $800 million a year energy cost savings. Okay? Beyond that, We've made a commitment as part of our Ford New Hampshire plan to establish a fund, $200 million fund, targeted towards the communities that are going to be hosting the line. Why did we do that? We're doing that because we are demonstrating the benefits that this project can bring to New Hampshire. And, you know, there's been questions, well, is it going to have a negative impact on tourism? How about economic development? Clean energy? We're making a $200 million commitment to fund initiatives in those areas, in these towns, in essence, to drive tourism, create economic development opportunities, promote small-scale clean energy solutions. Okay? Beyond that, the tax revenues, when you look at it across all of the towns up and down the route, it's about $30 million a year. When we do our analysis of what does it mean from a jobs perspective, you'll see over 2,000 jobs during the construction phase and several hundred jobs thereafter. A very significant driver of gross domestic product here in the state of New Hampshire. Okay? It's not mentioned here. One of the things we've committed is that to the extent possible, and this is referred to as our New Hampshire First commitment, all of the construction and associated work on this project will first be made available to New Hampshire companies and New Hampshire employees. And we'll only look outside of this state when there's, in essence, not sufficient resources in the state. So we truly anticipate, you know, putting a lot of New Hampshire residents to work on a very important project for them. Okay? Up north, we've created a job creation fund, really designed to help do, in essence, what the name says, which is create jobs. That's going to be managed locally. The company's, in essence, going to turn the funds over to an independent group, and they're going to look for job creation opportunities in the North Country. And I think, you know, many of you know that's an area that can use that type of infusion of funding. Okay? When you look at that total, just the economic benefits to New Hampshire, it's back to the question, what's in it from New Hampshire? Isn't this all about southern New England? It's almost $4 billion worth of direct economic benefits. Okay? That's what it means from an economic perspective. The environmental benefits are unparalleled as well. You're looking at over 3 million tons a year of reduced carbon dioxide emissions. If you think about the power plants that are retiring or are being displaced by a project like this, whether it's coal or oil, any fossil fuel, and you do the numbers, that's what it means from a carbon reduction perspective. 3 million tons a year. There are several other things we are doing here to create other environmental benefits. One that was not mentioned in the video is some transmission upgrades we're planning for in the North Country. What that's going to allow is the small-scale renewables generation to advance. So you've got existing hydro plants, small plants. You've got biomass plants. You've got wind plants up in the North Country that will benefit significantly from these transmission upgrades, meaning they'll become more viable. We also create the ability to develop more small-scale renewable. And this is in an effort to balance the clean energy benefits of the large hydro importation and allow the small-scale renewable developers to continue to move forward. It's consciously designed to do that. Okay? So that's the that's what this project does mean to New Hampshire, both economically and environmentally. You know, what happens if the project gets built elsewhere, Maine, Vermont, et cetera? You know, the short answer is these benefits go with it, okay? And that is the short answer. And, you know, when you talk to many across the state, whether it's a business who's looking to lower and stabilize their energy costs, or an individual who's looking for a stable construction job for a three-year period, you know, these things matter. Municipalities who perhaps can use some additional tax basis, these are very material considerations. We've specifically designed this to meet those needs. Okay? So with that, I think we're at a point where we're ready for question and answer.
All right.